You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest Cal Garrison returns to do another show. Cal is a practicing astrologer with 40 years of experience. At present, she goes between casting horoscopes, writing books, and working as the personal assistant to Drunvalo and Claudette Melchizedek. Editor-in-chief at Drunvalo's online magazine, The Spirit of Mott, Cal is also a syndicated columnist for the Associated Press. An author with 5 books to her credit and another one on the way, Cal is well known for her affiliation with the late Slim Sperling. Out of love for her mentor, she continues to support his research with her dowsing, through her articles, and as the spokesperson for Slim's tools at all of Drunvalo's workshops. A single mother with 3 grown daughters, Cal lives happily in the Red Rocks of Sedona, Arizona. So let's welcome Cal back to the show now. Hi, Cal. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you doing, Lance?
I'm very good. I'm just actually getting over the tail end of a cold, so you're lucky. Yesterday, I would have sounded like Tallulah Bankhead.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's too bad. I hope you feel better now.
Now that I'm talking to you, I feel better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, it's always good to talk to you. I was a little confused. I didn't know what we were going to get into tonight because everything seems to be happening so quickly and it's hard to make sense of it all.
Right. So I have a funny feeling that between the two of us, we'll somehow kind of be like the fool in the tarot deck and accidentally step on the right lily pads.
Hey, that's a good way to look at it. No, I totally, because that's actually how I feel right now.
Yeah, you know? Me too. Yeah. It is a confusing time, and one of my friends said that she feels like we're still in kind of a limbo period. We could start a little bit, if you like, with the numerous astrological hits that we're going through right now. We're just coming out of a new moon eclipse, which I felt was a little strange. We're going into another one on the 15th and another one on the 1st.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't remember when that's happened before in my lifetime, but of course I wasn't following astrology when I was 6 years old. But
yeah, no, I know. It's interesting because the whole thing with eclipses is something that really, you know, I think probably the only people that really understand eclipses are the Mayans because their whole system seems to be based on that. And my understanding of eclipses has been limited to a lot of metaphorical BS that basically says, you know, it's when all the hidden stuff comes to light. But there's so much more to them because, you see, each eclipse happens in a series.
Yeah.
And it isn't just that one event. They're all tied in together. And the interesting thing is that you have to follow the sequence in each of the eclipses in the series and try to understand not just the aspects that are formed during the eclipse, but the aspect that the next eclipse is going to form to the original eclipse. Mm. And then you've got to look at, usually there's 3 or 4 in a series, so you have to look at all of them. And the other thing with eclipses is that their effects last. Now, it's people have different ideas about this, but the rule of thumb is that an eclipse will last in years.
Wow. Okay?
Or the effects of the eclipse will last in years, relative the same number of hours that it is long. So if you've got a 3-hour eclipse, it's going to sort of, the effects are going to be felt for 3 years.
Wow.
Now, with a lunar eclipse, it's different. The effect is felt for, you know, the same number of months as the eclipse lasts in hours. So it's a little bit of a different thing. But that adds a whole other aspect to it, because you see that this is, you know, in terms of world events, what's going to happen is that the energies that are active during the eclipse are going to span out over the length of time that the influence of the eclipse lasts. Now, this one that's coming up, the one that's coming up on the 15th,
okay,
or 16th,
yeah.
I can't remember the day.
Yeah.
That's either. Happening pretty close to galactic center.
Oh, yes. That's a very important, significant event.
Yeah. It's happening pretty close to galactic center. So let's just put it this way. You know, it's like also just a week before the solstice. So that's important, too. And so one thing I do know, okay, that I can tell you, and the reason there's so much hype around the one that's happening on July 1st, it is the first new Saros series that is, you know, starting out in the 21st century. All right, now the last solar eclipse of the 20th century was on August 11th, 1999. And that was the eclipse that the Kogi thought would be the end of the world.
Oh.
All right? They thought, they were dead sure that, you know, the Kogis are those amazing enlightened beings that live, you know, 16,000 feet up in the air in the Santa Marta, Sierra Nevadas, all right, down in Colombia. Now, these guys are probably the most enlightened beings on the planet. They were so sure that the world was going to end that they were all set to go. And then when they woke up the next day and it wasn't happening, they said, well, what could have possibly kept this from happening?
Yeah.
And according to them, they said it had to do with all the people that had woken up.
Oh.
All right. So they, you know, they're, you know, the Kogi aren't necessarily limited by their physical bodies. You know, and the day after the eclipse, when they realized that, you know, that they refer to Mother Earth as Aluna, they realized that Aluna was still spinning. They got into their astral bodies and they went all over the planet to try to figure out what was going on. And they found out that there were a bunch of people that had been doing some really good work on themselves.
Oh.
And they showed up in their visions as lights that were beaming all over the planet.
Wow.
And they couldn't figure out what had caused this. And when they tried to figure out what had caused it, okay, and I don't know how they do these things. You know what I mean? They're so much more elevated than we are in so many ways. I've met the Kogi, and, you know, when they're looking at you, you can tell they can't even see you, you know?
Yeah, I've seen documentaries on them, and I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. And it's like you're not even in the same dimension.
No.
But anyhow, they were looking
around,
and they found Drumbelow. And for whatever reason, they attributed this, you know, emergence of light to him.
Huh.
And that was when their relationship with him began.
Wow.
Because at that point, they sent him a gift through an emissary that was supposed to be at one of his workshops. And the gift was a little egg-shaped ball of sap that was wrapped in a piece of red felt. Now, for whatever reason, this meant a great deal to them, and they gave it to him as a token of their whatever appreciation. Anyhow, that was what brought them together. But getting back to the eclipse part of it, this one that's coming up on July 1st is the beginning of the next cycle. So a lot of people are feeling that this is, okay, the legal entrance into the Aquarian age. So the new paradigm opens up on that date. According to the people who like to theorize about these things because I don't think anybody really knows.
No, you're right. I agree with you on that one.
Yeah, so actually one of my jobs right now is to get to the bottom of what these eclipses mean, and I haven't even, you know, touched the surface of that yet because there is very little written about it.
Mm.
And most of the astrologers that are alive today don't even know what they're talking about. I mean, because they've been sort of weaned on computer astrology, and they don't really know how to cast a horoscope. So, so it's hard to get to anybody. All the big guys are dead. You know, so who do you talk to? I don't know who to talk to about this.
Right, yeah. And we know that the true esoteric information has been suppressed and is still concealed in wherever it is, vaults, underground, or whatever. And so we don't have access to that information. And however, we have access to our own inner information, and I think that's where we're going to find it.
Well, you know, this is the, you know, when I was thinking about how we were going to talk about this tonight, because, of course, everybody wants to know what's going to happen. Okay, but my experience is even people who are supposed to be on the cutting edge of that stuff would never say.
Right.
You know, the people that think they know what's going on right now are, you know, it's clearly evident that they don't.
Don't.
You know?
Exactly.
My feeling is like what you say. It's like I'm kind of just feeling my way from moment to moment.
Absolutely.
And what it's doing is it's opening up. You know, this desire to just stay connected all the time, because I think the only information that you're going to get is going to be through your own inner guidance system.
That's right.
Absolutely 100% correct.
Yeah.
And that is another thing that we could talk about, Lance. I don't want to run away with a conversation, but there's a midpoint picture that's building up right now that's very interesting. Neptune just moved into Pisces.
Okay,
Neptune just moved into Pisces.
All right.
It's at 0 degrees Pisces right now. Jupiter just moved into Taurus. It's at 0 degrees Taurus. All right, now.
Okay.
What is happening in the center of that picture is the planet Uranus, which happens to be in a direct motion right now. But the way you do midpoints, within a few days, that picture is going to be exact, okay? And so the imagery that you pull out of that is a couple of things. First of all, I think we're going to get a huge boost from the ETs and the interterrestrials, that are around here.
Right.
And I think what you're going to begin to see, you know, on the positive note, is plenty of really unconditional love and unconditional support coming from these legions of beings who have been sent here to keep an eye on things, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only danger with that is to sort of ride off on the idea that, well, they're going to take care of everything for you. I don't think so.
No.
Okay? But they're here to help a lot. The downside of that is that, that the Illuminati right now have access to the same knowledge and the same information and the same technologies that all the people that are working for the light side of things have, too.
Right, right.
And this whole thing with the ET phenomenon, they are going to be milking, for everything that it's worth, and you probably know this already, in the sense that this is a means by which they can get to manipulate us with fear, et cetera. And they have the technology to produce holographic images that appear to be quite real.
Absolutely.
And one of the things that a lot of people have been speculating upon is, will they manufacture the second coming? Now, this technology has been available to them for quite a while. I don't know exactly, to what extent they've been fooling around with it. I mean, we all know that they've been messing around with the things that happened in Japan.
Right.
All right. What I'm talking about is sort of a more sophisticated, fine-tuned sort of technology that has sort of evolved out of the HARP stuff and the frequency research.
Yes.
So we're looking at this time when it would be very easy for us to be tricked or fooled, okay, by, you know, stuff that people are putting out that isn't necessarily true.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
And that's, again, this is why what you said earlier is so true, because the only thing you're going to have to rely on when it comes to truth is your own inner guidance system.
That's right.
All right?
Yep.
And I have to be particularly careful when I scan stuff because I'm gullible. You know,
too.
I really kind of want to believe everything.
Yeah,
I want it all to be good. But some of this stuff that people are saying is good is not that good.
Right, exactly. And it does seem that my own take on things was a little bit more accelerated. I thought that by now there would be a little bit more of a break in the rigid control system that they have, the Illuminati has with the Matrix in terms of controlling the information sources and, you know, the information that we get. But apparently that's not happening yet. So they may be holding out to the very last nanosecond.
Well, this is what I have heard.
Yeah.
Okay, this is, and we may have had this. We may have talked about this before. I remember it was back last fall, and we were getting ready to do a big workshop here. We were setting up the day before. Drumbelow walks in, and he asked me how I'm doing. I'm saying, I feel great. I feel like I'm so excited about this workshop. He said, I am too, because tomorrow, the day that it starts, is the first day of the last battle between the dark and the light brotherhood. And that was November 8th last year. All right, now, I don't know how long these battles go on, but since that time, okay, the guys that aren't being totally transparent about their motives and their interests, you know, have been going full bore.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can't even believe the extent to which they're going nuts trying to just, you know, make themselves right. And again, you know, Drumbelow's my teacher. I'm very fortunate to be working with him. He does know more about what's going on right now than anybody on the planet. And he said, you know, this is what always happens when it gets to this point. They don't stop fighting until the bitter end, and they always lose.
Yeah.
Okay, and this conversation that he had with, you know, somebody who's been sort of like affiliated with that team, you know, the guy said, yeah, no, that's the absolute truth. I don't know why we do it. Everybody knows how it's going to end up. The light always prevails.
Right.
Okay, but they don't, you know, what I finally figured out is they do not know how to do anything else.
Yeah.
All right.
And it makes sense.
And that's, I guess that's okay. One of the things that I'm trying to do now is I'm trying not to judge the darkness.
Right.
Because, you see, that kind of amplifies it.
Right.
And by that, I'm not trying to turn a blind eye to it, but I'm just saying, okay, I know you're there. I know a little bit about what you're up to. I really can't say I know all about it because it's so confusing, you know, but it's okay with me if you want to keep doing what you do. But what I would love is if you would be transparent about it, you see? Because if we knew, if everybody was sort of playing with the same deck, then we could get something done here, and people could decide whether they wanted to go along with your program or not.
Right. Well, I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Well,
that is the nature of that side, to work in secrecy. And
yes, I know. Everything is totally secret. But what's interesting to me is they're kind of like blowing their own cover, you know, all kinds of things. Like this whole thing that happened with Arnold Schwarzenegger, right?
Huh.
Okay, that, you know, I know this sounds like superficial mainstream gossip, but, you know, when Arnold Schwarzenegger's whole marriage broke up and that whole thing with the secrecy around his affairs and all that kind of stuff, I mean...
Hmm.
You know, how much do you know about, you know, his quote unquote bond with Maria Shriver,
and right.
and her affiliations. I mean, those people are like 100% Illuminati.
Right, right.
Okay, all of them.
Right.
I'm sorry,
right.
you know what I mean? They're on that
yeah.
team. Christ, Arnold Schwarzenegger was born and bred, okay,
yeah.
to be
yeah.
who he is.
You're right.
And I know a little bit about that because I used to be, you know, like a whacked out fanatical bodybuilder when I was young. You know, so I was a big fan of his, and, you know, his whole story of, like, you know, he was born and bred in Austria and raised on nothing but goat's milk and... You know, there's this whole weird kind of Superman kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Associated with Arnold.
Oh, yeah. And
but anyhow, I don't want to get off on that subject, but there's a lot of kind of, like, things, covers that are getting blown. And
yeah.
I have a feeling there's a lot of covers getting blown right now, even if you just look at what's going on with Oprah Winfrey. All right, now, she is one of the most mind-controlled people on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting to me now is, what are they going to do about her? Because all of her handlers are busy doing other things. She broke up with Stedman. Okay. So what's going to happen when that lady comes out from underneath her programming?
Well, that could be interesting.
Yeah, would she really be able to do something to help people?
Because
I see the stuff that she's dishing out as... basically, she's selling Prozac. You know, her show to me is like Prozac for the masses who just want to tune in and have a little feel-good time.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of stuff that she conveys that's really useful to people, but it doesn't get them anywhere in terms of their evolution. It just makes them feel a little better, you know.
Right, right.
But she was never really intended to bring people on her show who would actually enlighten anybody.
Right, right.
And she could do that. She has the power.
And she could
do that. Yeah.
Well, it would take some kind of dramatic shift, and that takes us back to the cycles that you mentioned. You know, these are all openings, especially when we align with the galactic center, because that is something that may be a foreshadowing for us or a taste of what's coming in 2012 if we're still here, because that is an exact alignment, as I understand it.
Yes, it is. It's within a orb of a conjunction to the galactic center, and the other interesting thing is that the eclipse that happens on the 1st is going to be happening very close to the planet Pluto.
Huh.
All right, now that's kind of trippy, because what will be happening on the day of that eclipse is Pluto will be in direct opposition to it.
Huh.
And that planet has a lot to say about what's going on right now, because... relative to the Earth's horoscope, it is moving back and forth over the base or the point where the Mother Earth is rooted into the rest of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you want to really look at it, what I would predict based on what little I know right now is at the point when... Pluto in transit moves over the eclipse degree, all right, because it won't be quite there. And I double-checked on the, let me just double-check on the, on the degree of the eclipse, because I was talking to an astrologer last night, and she was telling me, oh, it's 9 degrees Capricorn. All right, and I said, no, it's 5 degrees Capricorn. That's where the eclipse is going to happen.
Ooh.
So, June, where are we? Okay. No, it's July 1st. All right, so the sun's going to be, yeah, I was right. I was right. Okay, so it's going to be, 8 degrees of Cancer, I'm sorry.
Eight
right now,
cancer.
Right now Pluto's at 6 degrees of Capricorn. And so my sense is that when Pluto gets to 8 degrees Capricorn, there is going to be a shift. That will not be until January of 2012.
Huh.
Okay, now there is another interesting thing that's going to be happening at that point, is that Uranus, which is the change maker, and Uranus is the one that rules the Heokas and the presence of the ETs and the outside help and this potential for an instantaneous consciousness awakening on the part of the masses. Okay, this planet is going to be moving over the point that governs all of that stuff. Okay, and that will be in the month of January 2012, and anywhere from the 1st of January till the end of January, early February next year, is going to be at a very important time. Now, we can predict that, but because, quite honestly, I do not know anything about eclipses. All right? And I was given instructions. Strumvalo gave me instructions about 2 weeks ago. He said, figure this out. He said, I want you to figure this out. And so I have been reading everything I can get my hands on and trying to just look at it from my own perspective and try to just see it, if I can figure out how to find a metaphor for how those things work.
Right, right.
But they're very involved, and my sense is that anybody who really wanted to study them would have to go into the Mayan information, because a lot of their stuff, they have different types of cycles, but they have a very fixed sort of 20-year cycle okay, that is uniform, and it coincides exactly with the way the eclipse cycles work.
Okay.
And of course. So anyhow, that's where I'm at with it, and I can't tell you too much. I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay, because there's plenty else to talk about, because here we are now, according to Carl Kalman anyway, in the third day of the ninth wave, which is the final wave of the ninth of the Mayan calendar.
Okay, if so does that stretch out till November or October?
October.
Okay.
And then, now here's the thing that I'm wondering about. I just recently noticed some buzz about Comet Elenin. And there's a lot of theorizing that the orbit of Comet Elenin is due to pass within Earth's orbit between the Earth and the Sun just about the same date as the end of the ninth wave. It's around the end of October. And that there will be 2 or 3 days of darkness, which you have mentioned before, and so have many others.
Oh, interesting.
And, yes, and many are saying that this might be Nibiru, Planet X, or whatever you want to call it, that has been foretold. I mean, it's the only logical candidate, if it's, and that every time it passes by, it creates earthquakes, and it's been far enough away in millions of miles to not do too much damage yet, but if it passes between the Earth and the Sun, and it has a tail and it's whipping around, I can only guess that that's got to do something.
Well, you know, I have been hearing about this comet for the longest time. I have no opinion on it. But I listen to people. What I notice about the whole comet idea is that it's a guy thing.
That's funny.
I don't know why that is. I mean, what, for what reason? But this is,
right.
You know, and Christ, we've been talking about the comet for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And so, it's something like I never got into Sitchin's work.
Yeah.
Okay, I never got into it, and I feel like a total, you know, like loser because I can't have this discussion without, you know, just talking through my hat. But what I wonder about what they're saying about the comet is if it coincides with the Hopi predictions of the red star. And I'm not sure exactly, you know, what color a comet turns or how a comet appears in a at the end of a telescope as you're watching it approach. But my sense was that this could very well be part of the Red Star prophecy.
Right, right.
All right, and that prophecy states that you will know when the Red Star appears that the shit is going to hit the fan.
Hit the fan,
any minute.
Right.
All right?
Right, yeah.
Is it okay to say that word?
Yeah, of course.
Radio? Okay, good, okay.
What?
Sometimes when you're talking on the radio, you can't say that word.
Yeah, no, we won't be bleeping that out.
All right, okay. Yeah, so maybe it's that, but I could see, you know, the magnetic field is already going crazy.
Well, that's another aspect that we're aware of, right?
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, can't you feel it?
Yeah,
I mean, how's your memory these days? Do you forget where you are?
Oh, my God. Sometimes I feel like the slate's been wiped blank.
Yeah, no, and it is it Alzheimer's, Lance? I mean, I'm not really sure. I feel sharp as a tack, you know, in so many other ways.
Right. Just don't try to pin up a piece of paper with a tack. No, I know what you mean.
I just don't know. I mean, I think probably everybody that's listening can relate to the whole idea of just, you know, you're on your way somewhere and you totally forget where you are.
Oh, all the time now. And another thing I've noticed, that I'll be walking my dog in the nature walk to the mailboxes, and sometimes my legs feel like two telephone poles. I mean,
oh my God.
So intense, I can hardly.
So maybe your body's already going into that. You know, men get to be 16 feet high in the fifth dimension. All right?
Could be.
Maybe you're just getting sort of like a preview.
Well, I don't know, but I'm trying to stay open to all possibilities, especially in the invisible realms that I may not be picking up, and obviously I'm not, because we know that the senses beyond our five senses are the real ones.
The senses, definitely, yeah. And my feeling was that, I think that's, you know, what people don't realize is I think all of those senses are going to wake up in us, but I think that it's important now for the people, you know, that have sort of been thinking about these things for a while to realize that those senses wake up and are commensurate with your spiritual development.
Yes.
All right?
And,
because
there
can be no ego attached to those powers.
Right. Absolutely none.
Yeah.
If we start to get egotistical about it, then we'll either get smacked down or our progression will be halted.
Yeah.
And that's what I found, that I'm only allowed to move forward as long as my ego is in check and I have the right intent, which is to be of service to others.
Yeah. Always.
Yeah. And it's so important too, to be able to acknowledge what's happening and not just mentally dismiss it by our left brain and say, oh, that was nothing or that was silly. We need to acknowledge that that was real and that's what we can trust. That is our inner compass.
Yes.
It's the mind we can't trust that tells us that something is not real, and that's what will take us out on a false path.
Yeah, when the mind tries to tell you what you're experiencing,
wants to classify everything and know what it is by name. And we're moving into realms that are nameless, telepathic, and psychic and empathic.
Yes,
and I'm sure you've noticed that you've had. I've had a lot more empathic connections with people and calling and talking, and at the same time we'll call each other. I was just thinking about you and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
A lot more of that and a lot more synchronicities.
Everything seems to be synchronous. I'm starting to feel like I'm just a little command center.
Right. Yeah.
I swear to God, because I mean, yeah. I don't think I leave the house.
Right. I know.
You know, it's like if you think about something long enough, it'll show up.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting as far as that goes, because I think that if what we're being allowed to do, I think right now, is move into a greater level of trust. Okay,
yes.
That all the things that we ascribe to, you know, in terms of understanding that we live in a world of abundance, that we are surrounded by unconditional love, that the universe is here to support us.
Right.
All right. And that there is nothing to fear. Like,
right.
All the situations that I, you know, would get into when I was younger that used to really put me into a fear state and complicate things.
Mm.
You know, now I just say, okay, isn't this interesting? Look what I have to play with.
And
then I try to work with the situation to see, okay, how can I turn this into a miracle instead of letting it, you know, bring me to some other place?
Right.
So,
right.
And that kind of stuff, I think if you talk to people, and I think that this is very important, if you talk to everybody.
Yes.
You know,
don't hold it in.
And find out exactly how they're feeling. Tell them how you're feeling. Ask them what's going on. Did you notice this today? You know, one of the things that's been happening here in Arizona is it's been cold.
Mm.
All right, now, we've had tons of really unbelievable wind, and it's been cold until the last 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Usually this time of year, it's not like that. There's so much going on with the engineered weather stuff right now. I was curious to hear, have you heard anything about what's going on at the New Madrid Fault? Have you heard the latest gossip on that?
Just rumors about them fracking and trying to, you know, engineer some kind of disaster.
This whole thing has been sort of going on ever since the Fukushima blowout.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that gossip.
Yeah.
And I had heard like a couple of years ago, you know, the Chinese had retaliated against the United States with some HAARP activity that was directed at the Midwest. The flooding in the Midwest, I think, was back in 2008, was so bad it really screwed up the food supply.
Ooh.
Okay, now all this flooding that's going on up and down the Mississippi.
Yeah.
You know, it's destroyed so much farmland that it's gonna wreck food prices.
Oh yeah.
And now what they're saying is that the snow melt, you know, up north, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, they had horrendous snows up there this year. All that snow hasn't even fully melted yet. And they're talking about the Missouri River flooding.
Huh.
And they're also talking about the fact that these floods are being engineered to sort of loosen up that New Madrid fault line so it'll be easier to crack it when they decide to zap it.
Well, now,
all right, now... what do you do with that information? It's horrible.
Well, of course, it is horrible. But we just adjust to the fact that everything they do is horrible. But is that to keep in alignment with some kind of biblical prophecy thing that they're acting out, or what?
Well, you know, you're probably right about that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they are like very, you know, very making the best use of, you know, everybody's apocalyptic fears, for sure.
Oh, yeah, no question about that.
You know, and I don't know, I mean, I think there are a lot of ways of looking at this. I know that I actually was watching a documentary the other night about, you know, the evangelical contingent and their attitude towards all this. I mean, those people are really gearing up for the end, you know.
Well, we create
more in terms of, you know, stockpiling stuff and trying to find a safe place to live. I mean, I'm not exactly sure if they are going to be okay with all that, because I don't think it really is going to matter how much food you have stockpiled.
No, and the bottom line to that is it's a paradox, because if you truly are a believer and you have faith, no matter what your religion, creed, race, or whatever, then you know that your life is not this life. Your life is eternal and infinite in the realms of spirit. So trying to save your life is really kind of an exercise in a lack of trust and faith in your deity.
It's kind of oxymoronic, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I have one thing I have heard is that, you know, the whole thing with, you know, when is the Earth's crust going to start to move around and how's all that going to work? There, you know, that everybody is pretty clear that there is going to be some sort of really total cataclysmic event, all right?
Yeah.
My understanding of how that event plays out is that it's all related to the magnetics of the Earth and what happens when they disappear. And then there is this sort of like a waiting period where they talk about the 3 days of darkness while everything shifts and you wait for it, the Earth to align with its new star. Oh, shoot, and I just lost my train of thought. Oh.
Well, that's all right.
I'm so bummed.
The 3 days of darkness and the new star.
3 days of dark. Oh, yes. And then the light returns,
The
light returns, okay, and it, supposedly it's 3 days of darkness, and then, boom, all of a sudden the lights go back on, and it's the brightest light you've ever seen. And that is, you know, sort of heralding your entrance into the fifth dimension or the fifth world, where everything is, you know, subject to thought. Okay, where thought and love are the operative words. So whatever you think about manifests. Now, my understanding is that there's going to be an adjustment period of about a month. It sounds so weird to even say it. There's supposed to be an adjustment period of about a month, and they say that if you're going to stockpile food, to stockpile enough food for a month.
Yeah.
All right. And then during that time, what we're all going to be sort of getting used to is how to create out of nothing.
Right.
And for some people, it's going to be easier to catch on than others. Of course, because we're already making these little baby steps now that we think are so cool, you know, where the synchronicities that happen are like, wow, you know, isn't that interesting? Well, it's all the time. That's the way it is. Okay, that's where we're going, to the place where thought and manifestation are instant.
I agree with that. I think that's definitely where we came from and where we're returning. But what if the spirit of Gaia Sophia were to empower us, since we are of her and we are in her, to make adjustments so that we're absorbing the subtle energies or the prana as the breatharians do, such as Jasmine, and that we require less food? People who are used to eating 3 steaks at the 5-star restaurant a day might not be too happy about not being able to do that, but the more that we adjust spiritually, I think that we'll be fine-tuning the physical along with it, because they are essentially, they will become one.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right about that. The whole thing with Jasmine's work is that I think it would be smart for everybody to know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, because the whole thing of living on prana and sunlight, I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't remember to eat.
I don't either.
I don't remember to eat. I eat. When I'm eating, it's usually because I know I need to do something. But, you know, I could easily go breatharian, I swear to God.
Yeah.
You know, I think that it's probably the best way to handle this, because I don't really think we're going to, you know, we're not going to need food where we're going.
Exactly. So there has to be some kind of transition period where, I mean, because we can't just go from 0 to 3,000 in one moment, but we might. That is a possibility. But it seems like there might be a transition period so that we just are gradually weaned off of, you know, food, and that it's just a natural, effortless process that we don't have to work at.
Yes.
And the
yes.
other thing that I was thinking, too, that you triggered a thought about, there's a gal named Anelia Benz that
oh, I love
Bill Ryan
her.
Has... Yeah, isn't she amazing?
Yeah.
I'm going to have her on the show sometime in the next
oh,
couple
good.
Of months. And I was blown away by her interview because it just made me remember so many things.
Yes.
And the thing that I want to point out is that she says that what she's here to do is to raise the vibration of the planet.
Yes.
And that the only real change that we can make is how extreme these shifts are. In other words, if we can raise and hold our own vibrations and not fall into fear and not go into, you know, some of the pitfalls of anger and the rest of it, the greed and ego and the rest, those of us who are raising their vibrations, then we will lessen the impact on the whole and the transition will be smoother.
Yes.
And I really believe that. I think that it's not set in stone and that it will be as easy as we choose to make it.
You know, I think that's the best attitude to take.
I could be wrong, but
I'm actually looking forward to it. You know, I'm kind
of
upset because it isn't happening fast enough for me.
I know, me too.
And every day I wake up and I check to see, well, what's happening today? What's happening today?
Like,
what
yeah.
are they doing? And what's
nothing.
Going on with the Earth? And has there been anything, any kind of big climactic change?
Yeah.
Yes, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
And that's what's so exciting about being here for this.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I feel like so lucky.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
as the days go by, and it isn't even months or years anymore, as the days go by, it just
yeah. seems
to becoming easier and easier to get into this new flow of energy. And I would
uh-huh.
welcome, you know, whatever the 100% version of this is. I'm not so sure, you know. You know, I mean, I think about the pole shift. I do
yeah.
think about that.
I do too.
I wonder how it's going to play out. You know, they say nothing like this has ever occurred before in the universe, and that actually right now the whole universe is depending on us.
Yes.
Okay, because absolutely everything in creation depends on what we do right now.
Yes.
And that isn't an ego thing. That's the way it
no.
is.
No, we are the one. You know, as a group, as an entity that have chosen ourselves to be here to make this shift. So, you know, the quicker we can step up to the batting plate and, you know, play and stop playing small and say, oh, I'm so insecure and, oh, I need a boyfriend or I need a better job. All that stuff is going to
oh, I
know.
Side.
You know?
I know.
It's time to let all that go, to let it all go. It's all fake. It's all part of the matrix of control that keeps us locked into our physical bodies and in insecurity and from being the vast, great cosmic beings of light that we truly are.
Oh, hallelujah, you know. Kudos to you for saying it because that is the truth. I mean, I talk to a lot of people. And before I talk to them, you know, whenever I do a horoscope for somebody, I say, you better make sure you really need to talk to me because if you just listen to yourself,
right?
Okay, you'll know exactly what to do. Save yourself
right.
the money.
Right, right.
But
right.
then what I notice is that people understand that at the intellectual level, but they haven't yet
yeah.
been taught to listen to themselves. They've been encouraged not to,
yes.
you know.
Yeah, that's right.
And so it becomes a difficult thing to sort of rearrange that kind of programming. But
that's right.
I think that what I see, yes, is 100% true, that the petty things that we think make up our lives have very little to do with what we actually came here for.
Right.
And that all of that stuff, you know, only, you know, like the whole thing of wishing for a boyfriend, wishing for a better job, wishing for more money, I mean... All of that stuff can be yours if you really want it. But the thing is that what you really want is often only what that stuff symbolizes, and you have to be it before you can have it.
Right.
So
right.
if everybody would just sort of clean up their own little corner of the universe,
Yeah,
you know, the fabric of this reality would hold together a little bit better.
Yes, exactly, and stop trying to change the world out there, which is the mirror, but change the inner workings, which is the source of the mirror. And in other words, if you, Bashar says, you know, if you want to see a smile in the mirror, you have to smile first.
Yes.
So, you know, if we want to see the world change out there, we can't be holding up signs and doing protests and all that, although that's okay to do. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's the inner work that we're evading and trying to get out of that we have stuffed and needs to come up and needs to be processed that will create the real shifts all over the planet.
Good point. This is
true.
Because this is all just a reflection of us, okay? And
there's
no blame involved in that, but we have manufactured this.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Now it's our job to try to figure out how to do all of this damage that we've created because it wasn't really our fault.
No, it is
not. You
know,
we were programmed in a way, and everything that we have learned for the last the last 13,000 years, every piece of information that's been disseminated has been disseminated in total darkness.
Yeah.
And so we were taught about things by people who were not even privy. You know,
they didn't have access
to the truth.
That's right.
And it's interesting because it seems like all of a sudden right now, every single one of everybody's core beliefs, okay, the ones that surround relationships, the ones that surround our purpose for living, the ones that surround what we do with our lives, they're all kind of falling apart. And it seems as if it's, you know, life seems to be begging us to go back to be living in a real simple way.
Yeah.
You know? And that's another thing, I think, with this thing that's coming up. We're learning that our addiction to technology is not the answer to anything.
Right. Well, that's part of the Matrix plan to move us into a literal virtual world, and where it's kind of a metaphor for, you know, if you look closely into the computer, you fall in like Alice in Wonderland, and you get trapped in it literally. So we could be our consciousness could be trapped in a virtual world forever, as far as I know.
Oh, you know, it's funny when you really think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Whatever they, you know, whatever the intention was, man, they were really, really effective at it.
Oh, yeah.
But this enlightenment process, I mean, I don't know. I live in sort of a rarefied atmosphere. Sedona's an interesting place because everybody's crazy. Everybody understands these things here. You know, even the Republicans in Sedona. Okay, so, but when I go out into the world, I notice that people are still sort of living that other life.
Right.
Okay, where they're still, you know, thinking, well, if I just keep working hard enough and paying my taxes, everything's going to be cool. And all I have to do is find somebody to love and to have enough to eat, and, you know, that's what I'm here for. Nobody ever told us that we were supposed to give back, you know, that we didn't come here just to receive, and that, you know, the universe functions better when the nerve endings, which I feel each one of us is just one of Mother Earth's nerve endings.
Yes.
Okay, is vibrating in resonance with the energies that are coming out of the Great Mother.
Yeah.
And understanding that the sole aim and sense of their existence is to emanate vibrations that are divine.
Yes.
You know, and that's what we came here to do.
Yes. And
we didn't come here to drive around in cars and go to the bank and talk on our cell phones. Hello?
No. All those distractions have kept us mired in the illusion and asleep, and they're very effective. So I'm just wondering, you know, what is going to happen that could shake many of us loose, because it doesn't seem that earthquakes or nuclear reactors or twin towers being destroyed by somebody or other seems to have any effect. It's almost as if the next day we go back to sleep and, oh, ho-hum.
Well, you know, it's funny, I agree with you. And this is why I'm thinking, you know, because I really don't know.
I don't either.
I believe, okay, or if I wanted to look at this from just an astrological perspective, I would say the movement of Uranus over the Aries point, which is the 0 degrees, 1 degree Aries, that's the first degree of Aries, as it goes over that point, my sense is that whatever it is that the ETs and the angelic beings have in mind for us, at those points where Uranus goes over, because it goes back and forth over this point a couple more times between now and the beginning of the end of January next year.
Okay.
That those are the moments in time when the possibility of people waking up is more open. Like, I kind of keep track of what's going on every time Uranus has hit that point. And it's fascinating because the first time she hit it, I think it was when the Deepwater Horizon well blew up. And actually, maybe it was a little bit before. No, maybe it was. I can't remember. I haven't got my ephemeris in front of me. But I do know that there was the day that Drumbelow did his first worldwide broadcast about the end times. He did this on a, it was a television broadcast. It was all over the internet. You know, thousands of people tuned into this thing. But that happened on the day that Uranus hit the Aries point, too. And I thought, well, this is a sort of a perfect example of, you know, this person coming on and then, you know, getting the information out to a broadband base of people.
Absolutely.
It was also when they were having the ET disclosure scenario in Washington, D.C. And, of course, the ETs have been thumping. I mean, they're everywhere now. It is impossible to set off a nuclear device anywhere on this planet now. You've heard that. So they're making sure that we don't do ourselves in. They're not overstepping cosmic law, but they are taking certain liberties that are at least legal for them to do, or there are forms of intervention that are legal.
Yes, and I'm guessing that as we get closer to these various points and incoming energies, that there will be more and more of us awakening, too, to allow the light to enter, that we will see more of that kind of activity as assistance to where we won't see just the dark side that we see every day. We'll begin to see the light at the end of the tunnel, which might be literally, I don't know.
Well, see, then the other thing to consider is the kids that are around now.
Exactly. And
all right?
Yes.
Okay, and the kids are, you know, anybody under the age of 39 years old right now, because the first indigos are about 39 years old now. All right, now that first wave of indigos came in, and that group, I've watched them. I actually get to hang out with a lot of those people because they come to those workshops, and those people have all gone into the system.
Yes.
Okay, and they have gotten into positions of power.
Yes.
And they are very mainstream, but, man, their minds aren't.
No. And the kids' kids and their kids.
Yes.
And there's a person in Argentina that's 22 that's... I can't remember, Mateus something or other.
Yes.
Did you see
that? Yes, I was listening to him.
Oh, my God.
In fact, I ran a little piece on him in the Spirit of Matt because I do a video link section in the magazine because there's so much information to be gathered from these videos that they have on YouTube. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that kid, he was like him and that wonderful girl, Analia, should hook up.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I know people are going to want to know who that is, so they can write me at zanymystic59@yahoo.com, or I suppose you at
calgarrison@gmail.com,
and we're just out of time.
Sweetheart. Well, it's always fun. I always enjoy talking to you.
I love talking to you, Cal. We have such a good time. I really do enjoy your being and your presence and
Thank you. Same here.
You're terrific.
Yeah. Okay,
thanks a million, Cal.
Yeah, right. I'll talk to you next time.
Good. All right.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.